Hello and welcome to episode 16 of season 2 of the Golf Shake podcast. My name is Ryan Rastall, PGA professional at Howley Hall Golf Club up here in sunny Leeds. I'm joined as usual by Mr. Matt Holbrook. Matt, how the devil are you this week?
I'm good. Sunny Leeds, is that a fact or is you just saying that to make it sound better than what it is?
Costa del Leeds is what I would describe it at the moment. It's beautiful.
Nice. Does that mean you've been playing some golf?
No.
No.
To be honest, I tried last week, but I've hurt my thumb. So it was tough. But yeah, I'm kind of saving myself because I've got some comps coming up, and I don't want to hurt my thumb. But yeah, I am playing. I've got tournaments coming up, so I am going to be forced to play golf. Not that I take much forcing because I quite enjoy it. But yeah, next week first comp.
Is it next week? So is that like a regional PGA event for you?
It's a TGI one actually with the buy-in group, so that's on Tuesday. Okay.
Where's that?
In on Thursday as well. So Tuesday is at it's in Halifax, so not very far away from me. So at Bradley, it's called Bradley Hall.
Okay,
I'm playing there.
Lots of halls up there, aren't there?
Lots of halls, yeah. And then on Thursday, I'm playing in. It is a competition, but it's not a professional one. It's kind of a like an alumni day from university, so I'm playing in that. It's just like a four-man team event, so that should be good fun. But then the week after is the qualifying for the the Club Professionals Championship, so that's over in Huddersfield. So
the guys in my region have had theirs today, I believe, at Moore Park. I know a couple of local guys to me that qualified actually.
Good, very nice.
So which is good.
Hopefully, one of those will be me in a couple of weeks' time if I can play some golf and play some holes and get some sort of form. But yeah, we'll see.
Well, lay off the rugby for a couple of weeks because it's the last. Well, thing
yeah,
we'll
yeah,
do
I'm not. I'm not going to. I'm not going to play again.
Ever.
I'll play during the winter, I think, but I'll just do sort of. Just do it for fitness, just touch rugby and stuff during the golf season, I think. For exactly the reasons you can imagine. Yeah, I don't want to get injured. Unfortunately, I got my thumb caught when I was tackling someone the other week in someone's shirt and nearly ripped it off. So, so it's just a bit sore. It'll be all right, mate. Enough about my exploits or non-exploits playing rugby. Let's talk about golf. So there's been a lot going on in the last week or so, to be honest, mate. And have you know, preparing for this, there was four tournaments going on, wasn't there? So we've gone from literally the DP World Tour just being, you know, off for a month. Not really much else going on we've got PGA Tour, we've got the first ladies major of the year over at the Chevron, we've got the DP World Tour and LIV as well. So we've got all those to talk about. Let's start with the PGA Tour. Now, I must admit, this was not a tournament I was particularly interested in, but was won very handily by Nick Hardy and Davis Riley at 30 under par, which was pretty damn impressive, winning by two shots from Aaron Hadwin and Nick Taylor. So did you watch much of this? I mean, I had a little interest in it just because I wanted to see how the Fitzpatricks were getting on, really, and they started well, and it was the foursomes that really seemed to be their undoing, really. They played really well in the four ball both times and foursomes not so good. So, that's kind of my take from it, really.
I didn't really watch any, to be honest. My thoughts on this is just one that I don't really have any interest in.
It's weird, isn't it? Because it can be boring watching, you know, 72 hole stroke play every week, aren't it? And I get why they do things to try and mix it up, but if they did something with the top however many players in the world and kind of randomly selected pairings or something like that, it'd be quite cool, wouldn't it?
I think so. It's worth mentioning that I'm not somebody that kind of clamours for alternative formats to golf. I'm quite happy to sit and watch 72 holes of stroke play. I like the fact that, you know, we get match play so infrequently that it doesn't become samey and it's more something to look forward to. and kudos to them for putting this event on. But I much prefer it, you know, could they, obviously they'd have to look at the date, but could they do it as a mixed event, for example, is,
yeah, know, that would be
quite different cool. things. Yeah, you know, different things that they could do. Yeah, and I know recently when you think back to when Matt Wallace won on the PGA Tour, we talked about, you know, kind of getting that first win in a bit of a kind of secondary event, wasn't it, on the tour. This one for me kind of feels the same way, because I think these guys, that's their first win.
Well, it is, but it's massive for them, isn't it? I mean, you know, it'll always say that they've got a PGA Tour win under their belt now, won't it, on their CV. It's a nice bit of money for them, and, you know, FedEx Cup points and all that kind of stuff. So it all kind of goes a long way. But, yeah, I know what you're saying.
I'd put an asterisk next to it. Because you couldn't get it done on your own. You needed your mate there with you. Something like that, anyway. But you know what I'm trying to say. It's a harsh thing to say, but...
I get that. And, you know, it was... You know, I watched bits of it, and I watched the course look pretty cool that they were playing, to be honest, looked really nice. And yeah, the sort of passing interest I had was more to do with Matt and Alex Fitzpatrick than it was anything else, really. But yeah, I mean, fair play to him, well done. And I'm sure we'll move on to are they in Mexico? Yeah, Mexico.
Aren't Mexico.
They? Yeah, now where Rahm's defending. After he won last year. So, yeah, I mean, it's going to be a completely different sort of normal service resumed going into next week, and we'll talk about that a little bit later on. So moving on to the first ladies' major of the year, so the Chevron, which is new sponsor. It's moved to a new kind of venue as well. And did you watch much of this golf, Matt?
Yeah, I watched a fair bit of this, actually. It's obviously the event itself has changed a little bit. Is this the one that used to be the KMPG? And they used to, because I know that they do this thing at the end, don't they, where they jump into the pond?
Yeah, KPMG. I think.
But it's a different pond this time, right? And a different golf course. But
yeah,
no, but
yeah.
Do you know, it's kind of like it's interesting that's how I kind of think of that event. And it would have been a shame, I think, if they'd have kept the event, but I hadn't kind of... Yeah, I think it's cool that they've kept that part of the event and that kind of tradition, if you like, of jumping in at the end, because that's, you know, as a... you know, I don't profess to be an expert on ladies' golf, but I do associate jumping into a pond with that major, and I think that's... I think that's a cool thing that they've managed to move the event, change the sponsor, but still keep that side of it. It's good, isn't it? It's nice to see them. That seems jumping.
I think it's cool, yeah. Well, yeah, that part of it seems pretty cool, yeah. Yeah, I mean, obviously went to a playoff, so Lilia Vu winning her first major. Narrowly kind of beating Angel Yin in a playoff, and Yin didn't finish particularly well, did she, in real time? Let's face it, she kind of limped into the playoff.
So I'll be honest, when I fell asleep. I'm not going to lie. So I didn't see the playoff.
Oh, to be honest, mate, it's on pretty late, isn't it?
It was. And I'd had, you know, I'd played golf Friday, Saturday, Sunday. So I was tired. You know, I'm not getting any younger. So I was surprised, because I think it was Tisical was leading when I decided. But she made a double bogey on the 18th, didn't she? And
she did.
Dropped from 10 under to 8 under, and yeah, so that without a double bogey on the last would have got her into a 3-0 playoff. And yeah, Nelly Corder was lurking for quite a long time, and I thought that she was one that was maybe
gonna... Yeah, I honestly thought going into that last round, I thought she was going to do it. I really did.
Yeah, but she's back at world number one now, isn't she?
She is, and Lilia Vu has actually jumped up to number 4, which is unbelievable.
Yeah.
Really, really good.
No, it's... Yeah, very good.
It's obviously a great feeling. Winning your first major, huge. And, you know, who's to say she's not going to win, you know, a hell of a lot more. I think, you know, jumping up to number 4 in the world suggests she's, you know, she's got the calibre to do that. And I mean, Angel Yin will be gutted, absolutely gutted, because she played really well. And you know, those two bogeys on 16 and 17 just must have been crushing for her.
Yeah, but you know, it's a birdie the last to get into the playoff is...
yeah, I suppose.
Yeah. I just, do you know, the winner got 765 grand. I mean, that's growing, isn't it, on the ladies' side of the game?
It's really good.
Yeah.
I mean, it's something we're going to talk about later on in the podcast. But, I mean, it was the one thing that was disappointing to me watching it was there just didn't seem to be anyone there.
Literally,
like, about four spectators. I don't know whether it was because it was a bit cold, weather wasn't particularly great, or whether it's moved venues and people aren't just used to it being there. Do you know what I mean? I don't know. I don't know the reason, but it didn't seem to have that many people there, which was, which for me, for a ladies' major, that place should be packed, really. There should be a lot of fans there.
It's interesting you say that, because it's not... It's not something I generally notice, to be honest, when I watch golf. I'd have to look back now and if there's any highlight programs on.
You notice it at the Masters, don't you? You notice how many people are there around everything. You notice it at the Open, they're like 20 deep.
Yeah. Right?
I mean, it's just... I just thought it was disappointing because the level of golf on show, there should be people there watching it.
Yeah. No, there absolutely should be. Absolutely should be.
So, I mean, we're going to get on to this conversation a little bit later on, but let's go on to the DP World Tour then. So Lucas Herbert, we kind of mentioned him a little bit last week, didn't we?
We did.
I don't want to be, like I say, that after timer that I was talking about last week, because we had actually seen the first round scores, hadn't we? And he was doing all right. So I'm not going to say we predicted he was going to win, but I kind of stayed away from him as a pick because I thought he was going to do quite well and he started really well. But he just played great, didn't he?
Yeah, it was very, very solid. I did catch, I only caught a tiny, tiny bit of that. Just because of the time.
He's been playing great. Like, I don't know, it's kind of last year, wasn't it? Start last year.
Yeah.
He's kind of disappeared a little bit, then kind of came back again at the match play, played really well and had some great results. And yeah, he's obviously backed it up now with a win over in Japan. But it's obviously great. Great for him to win. He's kind of back where I think he belongs, really, because he's serious talent, Lucas Herbert.
He's very good. Very good player.
We've also got to talk a bit about Liv as well, because they've got back-to-back events. So they finished in Adelaide. I don't know if you saw much of this on social media, but it looked like a hell of a good time that people were having in Australia, as you'd imagine in that part of the world. There was a few beers flying around. They kind of had their own version of the... par three at the Waste Management there with they called it the party hole. Taylor Gooch, I saw after two rounds, he was 20 under par after two rounds, 262s, which is unbelievable golf. I don't care what golf course you're playing. He had a 10-shot lead going into the last round. kind of faltered a little bit, shot one over, but still managed to win by three. Really good atmosphere. It looked like the Australian fans really embraced Liv, and you can see why, obviously, because of the Greg Norman connection. Everyone wanted to see Cameron Smith. I actually saw Charles Howell III put something on social media as well, where one of his kids actually had a Cameron Smith t-shirt on at the golf course. So yeah, it was pretty cool, and it just looked like a great atmosphere. Now, yeah, we've had this conversation before when we're talking about the Waste Management in terms of, I don't know if you saw that hole-in-one that Chase Koepka had, but there was beers flying around everywhere and cups being chucked and all sorts of stuff, which I think is a bit over the top, if I'm honest. But it did look like great fun.
So I'll be honest, I haven't seen it.
That shocks me, Matt.
I don't think it does. It obviously it all sounds very Waste Management-y to me.
I just think it was cool, and I like that they're trying to kind of spread the love around the world, really. Do you know what I mean? Just trying to get to different countries and kind of showcasing these players, really. And I think sometimes that's kind of missed a bit by PGA Tour, particularly, is very just stays in America, done it a lot. And it occasionally, like that, next week goes to Mexico or Puerto Rico or Hawaii, but doesn't really go, you know, to countries like Australia and, you know, Japan and places like that, where it probably should do.
Well, I think it's, obviously that's what the DP World Tour is, obviously now the DP World Tour for a reason and not the European Tour anymore, because there's probably more events outside Europe than what there is inside Europe. You know, I know they go to Mexico. I'm not too sure on the old WGCs. Did they used to go around the world with those? Or
yeah, so they obviously had the one in Mexico, didn't they? And they they did. They had one, I remember, in China, I think.
Okay. But they didn't take one of those down to Australia?
There's President's Cup's been there a few times, hasn't it, I think?
Yeah.
I'm not sure about WGC. I'm not 100%.
Okay.
I don't think so. But I think, obviously, the President's Cup's been there a few times. But, for I mean, I was looking at some of the social media from some of the golf journalists over there, and they were almost saying that the crowds that they had for this event were, like, so much more than what they'd ever seen at the President's Cup as well. And there were so many more kids there, which is obviously great. And I mean, you know, there are obviously people that hate LIV and don't like it, but we're going to talk about that a little bit later as well. But I just think that they're kind of bringing golf to different demographics, aren't they? Which I actually quite like. And the field strength is obviously another thing. So, yeah, sometimes the DP World Tour do go. So they were in Japan last week, but the field wasn't very strong.
No, but obviously it's giving lots of local Japanese players. And again, this, you know, similar to this week, they're in South Korea. And you see the long list of, you know, South Korean professionals that are going to get a chance this week. You know, and that naturally could be life-changing for any one of those guys.
It could, but then there's also all those guys that are desperate to try and keep their tour card that aren't.
Yeah, of course.
So, I mean, it is difficult. But yeah, I mean, we are actually for the first time I can remember. Well, it's back to back weeks, isn't it, on the LIV? So we'll talk about that a little bit as well. So they're off to Singapore now, which is obviously hopefully going to be another great event. But like I said, we'll get onto that a little bit later on. Have you played golf this week yourself, Matt?
I have. I very much so. I had a little cheeky afternoon game at Felixstowe on Friday last week in the afternoon.
So last time we spoke, and last time the listeners will have heard us talking about golf, you were waxing lyrical about aim point and how good your putting was going to be.
Yes, absolutely. Do you know what? Funnily enough, at Felixstowe Friday afternoon, my short game was bang on. Normally, I go to Felixstowe and play golf maybe when I've been struggling a little bit, and it's a little bit more open, a little bit more forgiving off the tee.
Okay.
But I just hit the ball terribly from tee to green. It was absolutely awful. I went. What did I? I lost. Well, I didn't lose, but I hit three shots out of bounds, and I lost another ball on the same hole as one of the holes where I went out of bounds. I went on a par five, went out of bounds off the tee, hit a second, so that was my fourth shot. Hit me fourth shot from the fairway, and lost that ball. So I was then dropping. The thing is, it's out of bounds, running all the way up the right hand side, so. When you quite often it's a par five plays about 520, but your stroke index one, right? It's the hardest hole on the course, and it just feels quite narrow. And more often than not, it's playing into wind as well. So any bit of slice or any bit of hook spin on it, and it's just in danger, and it's just two really difficult shots. And it's not my favorite hole at the moment anyway. So yeah, ended up making an eight on that. And then did the right thing on a par three, clubbed up that where you hit towards the clubhouse and went through the back of the green and up into the car park, which is out of bounds. Very next hole, literally just carved one onto the beach. But finished strongly, and as I say, like hold good putts. But Saturday, back at Stowmarket on Saturday, that was the one where I think I might have shared it on my social media where I gained strokes putting on Saturday compared to a two handicap golfer. And I actually free putted twice from about 50 foot, which on a couple of our greens, I don't like it, but I can accept it. But I also think that I hold about 10 of those kind of 10 to 15 foot putts that are so important to, you know, to hold, to keep a score going. So, yeah, so, but then look, I'll be brutally honest. Sunday come around, and for absolutely reasons that are unknown to me, just got very, very yippy over putts again. And it's something that I'd struggled with a couple of times last year, where I just go through these stages where I kind of pull in the putter back and I'm not freezing, but I don't know whether to, I feel like I'm trying to speed it up or I'm slowing it down on the way through. And it just becomes very yippy, and I'm struggling to control the club face on the way through, you know, and I'm looking at putts. Say I'm lining up a putt that's going towards, I know, 12 o'clock, but they're coming off the putter face out towards like 2-3 o'clock. It's like it's really bad. But that said, the good putts are still really, really good. So that's not really aim point related for me. You know, aim point, every time I hit a putt online, it either went in or it threatened the hole. The problem was I wasn't able to get the putt started online. But that said, I did hole two, probably 20, 25 foot putts for birdie on, you know, on our stroke index one. I hold a great, probably 25 foot putt for a three, and yeah, hold a good putt on the first. So it was a strange one yesterday. I've been out this afternoon, just did kind of 45 minutes to an hour. Just do a few kind of speed control and tempo drills to just try and build my confidence back up. But yeah, it's a really weird one. It's not a nice thing to go through, I'll be honest. It really isn't.
No, it's not. I mean, we've all had rounds when our putting's been a bit off and we kind of can't really figure out why. I to be honest, I always get it this sort of time of year, not yipping it, but kind of this time of year, I just can't feel my stroke properly. It's just lack of playing, I think, really. I mean, that's obviously not your excuse. But
no, it's not. It's not my problem.
But yeah, it normally takes me a month of playing before I can actually feel what the hell I'm doing with a putter, really. And then it's generally all right. But yeah, I know what you said. I've had similar stuff with chipping and stuff before, and just can't strike a chip for love nor money. And then the next week is great. So yeah.
It's weird. I mean, it's definitely it must definitely be a psychological thing for me, because, you know, if you was to give me a straight putt from 6 foot, you know, I'm, you know, I'm not saying that I'm holing every single one, but I know that I'm going to pretty much start that putter online.
Yeah.
There's definitely a theme with kind of uphill left to right putts for me.
Okay.
You know, anything right to left, I feel pretty comfortable. Anything downhill, even left to right downhill, or I think it's just anything where I feel like I need to hit it a little bit harder. I don't know whether psychologically I'm just kind of caught between a longer swing or a quicker swing, you know, but what I want is I just, you know, just need to get it started online. So, yeah, but no, there was good science today. As I say, I did a lot of work on it today.
I mean, like I said, anyone who's played golf and not had rounds where they feel like this is either lying to themselves or lying to us, because everyone's had it, haven't they? Everyone's had rounds where you're uncomfortable, you feel like you have absolutely no idea what you're doing, and you just kind of want to get the hell off the golf course as quick as possible. And we've all been there, yeah. So
yeah,
good. So let's talk a little bit. I mean, I hasten to add, I have not played golf. Like I say, I played 8 holes the other day, and literally was horrendous because my thumb was killing me. But yeah, it feels a lot better now after having. And I hit some balls actually indoors the other day, and it feels all right. So yeah, fingers crossed we're going to be okay and we can play. So yeah, hopefully I'll report next week with. Well, I'm definitely going to play sometime this week because I need to desperately.
I mean, I've got some golf lined up for this week, but we'll talk about that later.
Yeah, you have. Flipping it. But yeah, this week in professional golf, we've already mentioned it. So the PGA Tour goes to Mexico, where Rahm is defending his title from last year. It's a decent field again, a good event. It's one that I think a golf course that a lot of the guys like to play. Have you looked at the field? Do you have any kind of picks? I mean, Rahm's obviously an obvious candidate, isn't he? I mean, playing amazing and just coming off winning the Masters. Did okay at Harbour Town, and then he's had a week off, so he probably should be recharged and ready to go again.
I do have picks, actually. I've got two. Wow. I have got two. One is actually an Englishman.
Oh, really?
That goes by the name of Aaron Rye.
Okay.
I think he could have a good week. Seems to be playing pretty well lately.
Yeah.
And my other pick is somebody else that seems to be coming back into a little bit of form, Gary Woodland.
Okay.
The big hitting Gary Woodland. And I just think, you know, with his length, I don't know if this is one of those crazy, funky Mexican courses that's like 17 million miles above sea level where the ball's going to travel like 6,000 yards through the air. But I think it might play into the hands of the longer hitter. So, yeah, Gary Woodland is another one for me.
Very good. I mean, I have looked at it and, like I say, Rahm is the obvious choice. Kitayama, I think, is another one. I think he's gone well there before and seems to be playing quite nicely. I think he would be my kind of worth an each way punt, I think, maybe.
Yeah.
Like I say, it's a decent field. Finau as well has done really well there before, so he could be another one.
He's won there. Has he won that event? I don't think he's won there. But no, I know you finished tied second last year with, funnily enough, Kurt Kitayama.
Oh, there you go. I knew Kitayama. I just, from memory, just knew he'd done well there before. Yeah. But I sort of have memories of Finau playing really well there. And also, I guess I'm not really kind of, they're not been plucked out of thin air. They have actually played well on this golf course before.
Yeah.
DP World Tour has gone to Korea.
It has.
And as you've mentioned, there are a lot of Korean players in the field.
There is.
In terms of the kind of more well-known players and more household names, have you got any that you think are going to contend?
It's a tough one, I think. But Yannick Paul seems to be playing pretty well, doesn't he?
The sideline, do you ever do any betting on golf, really, or not?
I generally don't. I do.
Unless it's a major. That's the only time
yeah.
I'm betting, really. But yeah, week to week. I mean, we do these picks every week. And to be honest, we're fairly decent at it, I think. We seem to get the kind of main protagonist most time.
What are you saying? So, are you saying that I should...
I don't know. I think we should maybe have like a cheeky £2.50 each way or something like that and you know, nail our colours to the mast each week and see how we get on. But
We're going to have to put like age restrictions on this podcast and we're going to have to tell people to gamble aware and if the fun stops, deposit another tenner. No, if the fun stops, stop.
Yeah, that's the one.
And all that sort of stuff. But I've got £5 sitting in my Paddy Power, not my Paddy Power, my Sky Bet account. Other platforms are available.
Yeah.
And I'm slowly but surely just losing my £2 every week that I put on like a tenfold accumulator on the football.
Oh, on the football. Well, let's not talk about football, mate.
No. Saturday.
You're a Spurs fan. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, it could be worse.
It could be worse. It could be 5-0 down after 20 minutes and your fans walking out and getting the train back from Newcastle. Yeah.
I mean, look, I know lots of people that listen to this podcast are probably into football. Charlton Athletic lost at home and that was the game that ruined my tenfold accumulator. Every other game come in apart from that, I was fuming.
Why, did you put money on Arsenal lot to win?
No, of course I didn't. I've never put... Listen, you can't do Friday night games. You've got to do 3 o'clock kickoffs. That's it. You can't have early or late games because that's just torture.
It's looking tough, isn't it? Now I'm more focused on the other end of the table. Really, at the minute, I desperately want Leeds to stay up, but yeah, they're not looking particularly good at the minute. But who knows?
No, it's going to be. I've always
season surge.
Yeah. Just to wrap up the football chat, I've been quite open about the fact that I was never felt that. I'm not saying that I didn't feel like, but I knew it wasn't a foregone conclusion. I knew that Man City would come on strong. Deep down, I don't think I ever fully believed that we would see it through. Not because I think that they're bottle jobs, but Man City are just stronger. They are. It's a fact. They've got more experience and Arsenal way ahead.
I feel like some of the conversations we had on earlier podcasts, you were fairly confident.
Look, I was confident that we could mix it and we, you know, whatever happens from here on in, right, we're still in a title race with a handful of games to go. You can't deny that.
I think you have to either beat City.
Oh, we do. Absolutely.
Wednesday night, either?
Yeah, Wednesday night. There's no other result for Arsenal to still have a chance. And even then, even if we were to beat Man City, Arsenal still got tough games. Still got to go to St James's Park. Still got to play Brighton.
Every game's tough because there's either teams fighting for their lives or trying to get as high up the league as possible, aren't they?
And yeah.
I mean, the only game that doesn't seem like a particularly tough one is playing Liverpool at the minute, unfortunately. Which, I don't mean they've won a couple, but they're not really playing for anything anymore. So, other than pride. But yeah, we'll see how that goes. But yeah, hopefully we'll do our best to help Leeds stay up by beating all the clubs that we play against. But yeah.
So back to golf. Am I putting?
Talking about football because it's just depressing. But yeah. LPGA in LA this week, brand new event, inaugural. Again, best players all getting over there from playing the first major. And yeah, like I say, completely new event. So don't really know much about the venue and don't really know much about the course or anything that they're playing. But looking at the sort of form and looking at the players who are coming through, I think we had a very similar conversation last week. Nelly Korda and the likes of Georgia Hall and people like that, you've got to think are going to do pretty well. Have you seen any of that? Have you looked at the field, or have you got any early picks or anyone that you think that you saw at the Chevron that was maybe doing quite well and kind of, I don't know. Charlie Hull's been doing quite well, and she had a really good sort of last couple. She said herself, I think the first round she had a bit of a shocker, and then grew from there.
Yeah, she was quite open with it as well, which I like. She was like, "Do you know what? That's golf." She wasn't gonna read into it too much.
English, we really want to see Georgia and Charlie do well, don't we?
Yeah, of course we do. It's very difficult to look past the quarters for me. I think anybody that does look past anybody that beats Nelly Korda is quite possibly going to win. So, I know you're not going to get crazy odds on it, but that would, that's Matt's wisdom on the LPGA tour for this week. To be honest, I've just put me £2.50 each way on Yannick Paul. By the way.
Yannick Paul, who we haven't actually spoken about whatsoever. So where's that come from? Come on, talk to me. He's a bloody good player, don't get me wrong.
Yeah, why not?
Well, purely because when I asked you who you thought was going to do well, he wasn't one of the people that you'd said.
Yeah, I was going to say Yannick Paul. Because we never actually picked players, did we? In Korea, you'd asked me about it and I was going to, and then somehow we started talking about football. But yeah, no, Yannick Paul is
Yannick Paul's your man.
Yeah, I've done it, mate. I've got.
I'm purely hoping that Dan Gavins and Marcus particularly need to pull his finger out and have a good week because he missed the cut last week after a very poor showing from him. So yeah, he needs to pull his socks up and get going. Liv, like we spoke about, Liv is on again. So we've got Singapore. And I mean, Brooks was good again last week in Adelaide. I don't think anyone was catching Taylor Gooch after him being 20 under after two rounds, to be fair. So I think he could do pretty well. It's actually quite a good showing from Pat Perez, who's not been particularly great since he's been playing on Live, to be fair. And he's coming for a bit of stick, but he actually played all right. I'm not saying he's going to do very well this week because chances are, you know, he's maybe peaked. I'm not sure. Obviously, there's so many good players you can pick from, but Kepka for me, I think it's going to do really well again.
Good for him. It's good to see him playing well.
Yeah, it is, absolutely. And, you know, we've got majors coming up again, not in the not-too-distant future, really. So, I would expect to see him contending. And he just looks like he's playing pain-free, and that's obviously a good thing.
Yeah, no, he's good. He's good to see.
So let's that's professional golf for the next couple
of weeks. That is professional golf.
Right. So let's talk. We've got a few talking points this week, okay?
We're not gonna talk about them all this week though, are we? Are we?
No.
Are you just gonna chuck one at me?
What I wanted to actually talk about was some golf club nostalgia, right? Okay, because come to the market in the last couple of weeks and coming very soon to the Golf Shape YouTube channel, we have reviews of two blasts from the past, which have kind of been re-released, and two new products from probably the two biggest golf companies in the world that are coming to market. So we've got from Callaway, the name that kind of made Callaway Golf what it is, the Big Bertha is back. I don't know if you've seen much about this. I did put a thing on Instagram the other day when we actually got the driver. It looks pretty cool. It looks very, very forgiving and sort of that's kind of where the original Big Bertha came from. And you know, those of you that are old enough to remember the original Big Bertha drivers and great Big Berthas and biggest Big Berthas of this world that came out, if you actually see one right now, they look like the smallest driver you've ever seen in your life. But I remember at the time they looked unbelievably big compared to what was available. Matt, you came to golf a little bit later than this, didn't you? I think, you know, I don't think you've probably seen one of the original Big Berthas, but I don't think you ever
one. So I actually had the Big Bertha probably the second time round. Because am I right in saying that this one now, the latest one, is almost like the third reincarnation of the Big Bertha?
I think it's more than that. I think obviously it was available a lot during the 90s. And then so Big Bertha,
I think
start of the kind of millennium, we had the likes of the Steelhead and stuff like that, which were, I think, I'm sure were Big Bertha branded as well. And then Warbird as well, didn't we? And then we had, I think we're probably on like the third Big Bertha range in like the last 10 years, I reckon. Probably.
So I had, before I became a Cobra fanboy, other products are available. I was actually, before I was a Cobra boy, I was a Callaway guy.
Yeah.
And I started Callaway with the Callaway XR range. Do you remember that?
Yeah, I do. Very, very good.
Yeah, they were brilliant. And then it was the X. What was the one? They did a second kind of XR, didn't they? Because that was the one that Henry Extension like used for years, the XR Freewood.
Yeah.
And then I switched out of the XR driver and I switched into the Big Bertha Double Diamond edition. So it would have been a new, so that would have been maybe 7-8 years ago.
Yep.
I think. And then obviously then before I went to Cobra, the F9, I also had a Callaway Rogue, I think, which okay. I liked as well.
Yeah, very good.
So when
Rogue ST came out, we did a Rogue versus Rogue kind of comparison video.
Yeah,
and the original Rogue is still awesome, really good.
Yeah, I think that was one of the first with the jailbreak technology. Well, it might have been the Epic first, wasn't it? Then the Rogue, then the Epic Flash. But no, so going back to in terms of nostalgia, so, you know, I know, you know, just being a bit of a golf nerd, right, but not necessarily with equipment. But so there's certain golf clubs and certain names of golf clubs that I know are, you know, played a big part in golf equipment for a lot of people. Big Bertha being one of them. Ping Eyes, for example, the Ping Eye 2, was it that?
Yep.
Lots of people will tell you about stuff like that, and the Ping Answer. But the Big Bertha is something that I was well aware of that I'd used. You know, so that had played a part in my golfing journey.
I mean, my first ever driver that I had was the a Big Bertha 9 degree with a firm flex shaft in it, which was wonderful. I've still got it at home somewhere in a bag, I think. It feels like the whippiest thing in the world now, and looks is probably smaller than the 3 wood that I've got in my bag at the moment as well. So it's tiny. But yeah, awesome. And the new one looks great. So it's interesting that sort of Big Bertha has come out now as the kind of most forgiving range, if you like, that Callaway have. So we've obviously got Paradigm, which is, you know, winning all over the world. Seems like everyone that's winning at the minute is using the Paradigm driver. And certainly when we're looking at the, you know, the wins this year, it's been massive. But the kind of game improver and higher handicapper and maybe the slicer of this world isn't catered to as well as I think there maybe could be by the Paradigm range. So Big Bertha has kind of filled that void a little bit. So it's a bit more draw bias. It's very forgiving. It's going to launch a little bit higher. The shafts are a little bit lighter. So it kind of appeals to a much different golfer. And those who remember the original Big Bertha, the RCH shaft was the one that came in it. And these are a new version of that that we've got in the latest iteration of Big Bertha. So yeah, I haven't actually hit it yet. I'm probably going to do the review tomorrow. We're doing some filming tomorrow. So I think Big Bertha is definitely on the menu. And we'll be able to feed back. But yeah, really looking forward to using it. It's obviously not a driver that's aimed at someone like me, but yeah, we'll see. I've seen sort of decent players hit it already and do some reviews on it, and it's come out really well. So I'd expect it to do the same when we hit it tomorrow. The other one is a tailor-made driver, okay? Is it a driver? What would we call it? It's like a
mini driver, isn't it?
It's much smaller than kind of the 460cc heads that we see at the moment, but it's probably about the same size as the original Burner was when it came out. So we've got the Burner mini driver, which we've had in store now for probably about a week. And interestingly, a lot of customers are going and picking it up. I haven't got my demo yet, but I'm assured from TaylorMade it's coming very, very quickly. But I'm pretty sure that's going to be popular. It looks amazing. Again, I put something on social media the other day. It's got the old kind of TaylorMade logo on it. It's sort of harps back in sort of the color story to that kind of rusty, orangey, browny sort of color that the original Burner was, and just looks super cool. And kind of, I remember when I first got into golf, that Burner with the TI bubble shaft in it was basically all the rage. And that must have been kind of 95, maybe 1995, 96 kind of time. When I remember seeing them in every pro shop going, really. So very excited to try that. And I've seen, Tommy Fleetwood's already got one in the bag.
Okay.
So it's obviously, it obviously works quite nicely, but, yeah, I mean, I remember back in the day when you used to see everybody using the Burner drivers with the bubble shaft. And these ones don't have the bubble shaft, but have got some of the technology that we've seen used in latest TaylorMade drivers. No carbon face, though, in this. But we have got some movable weight technology with a heavy and light weight that we can shift the CG and move the spin around a little bit. And we've also got the adjustability that we see on the hosel of the TaylorMade drivers, you know, being able to move the loft up and down, make it a bit more flat or upright in terms of the lie, and sort of change the loft in different increments. So it does have some of the more modern tech in there, but lots and lots of traditional looks and feels about it when you kind of sit it down and look at it as well. So yeah, very excited about that. Be interesting to see what some of you guys listening think as well. So, are you old enough and have played golf long enough to remember the original versions of these? Are these clubs in the Big Bertha and the Burner that you're going to rush out and try? I certainly think looks-wise, they both look awesome. And if you're that type of player, and I teach a lot of guys like this who really don't like using driver very much, and it just seems, you know, the shaft's too long, the head's too big, it just feels a bit cumbersome and very difficult to strike. There's a lot of guys, I think, that the something like the Burner Mini Driver, I think, will suit quite nicely.
There's yeah. I mean, if it's gonna tick a box for people, then fair play, you know, there's a market for it. I'm pretty sure the last Mini Driver they did also did pretty well. And if I remember rightly, I think Eddie Pepperell used one for years, didn't he?
Yeah, he did. I actually think he's
probably still got it.
Yeah, I think he may be using the new one as well. I'm not sure. I'm sure I'd seen something about that he was using something similar. But yeah, I mean, it's cool. Yeah, I can't wait to get it and I can't wait to hit it. But yeah, the ones we've had in the shop, people are picking them up all the time and kind of having conversations. And that's the thing. It's a conversation start with people, isn't it? And they kind of remember the old one, how good it was. And like I say, this driver, the Mini Driver, is pretty much the same size as the Berner was back in the day. In fact, it may be slightly bigger, but it still looks pretty small compared to the modern day ones. But yeah, very interested to try those and review them. And yeah, kind of keep your eyes peeled on the social media and the Golf Shape YouTube channel, because they'll be coming out fairly soon.
I don't know if you saw, just on that, it's a similar subject, but not obviously not with kind of new versions to buy, but Cobra actually celebrating 50 years.
Yes.
Of the last couple of weeks, you've seen certain things, and you know, whilst you know, we shouldn't point people in the direction of other YouTube channels, but it was Alex Elliott, who's like a Cobra ambassador. He got given a load of Cobra's old clubs over the years, and he's done some really cool stuff with those, you know, just hitting them comparisons, you know, the old Baffler and stuff like that. So that was also quite cool on a similar subject.
Yeah, very good. And you know, congratulations to Cobra as well. There's been some amazing golf clubs that have come from them over the years, hasn't there? And I think the latest, or certainly the last sort of 3 or 4 years, they've really, you know, I just think the technology has gone to another level, really. And that they're always fun to review. They're always fun to hit. I've got Cobra clubs in my bag at the moment. I've played full bag Cobra before, and I just think their products are fantastic. And you're obviously going to say that because you use all this stuff.
I do indeed.
But yeah, they are very, very good. And anyone who hasn't tried either any Cobra stuff or for a few years tried any Cobra stuff, because I mean, back when in the days when they were owned by a Kushnet, they were kind of the higher handicappers club that Kushnet used to have alongside the Titleist brand, didn't they? Yeah, you used to have things like the Titleist DCI and the 975D driver, and then I remember that SS driver that Cobra had out, which was sounded like the loudest thing in the world. But then when Puma went into kind of partnership with them, it just changed completely. There were obviously they had younger guys like Ricky, who they got using all their clubs, and just became obviously the two brands of Puma and Cobra are synonymous with each other. And you see those guys out on tour wearing Puma, using Cobra and playing really well. The likes of, you know, Greg Norman using, I remember using the Baffler back in the day.
John Daly,
absolutely.
Even Seve used Cobra clubs, didn't he?
Did indeed, yeah. So yeah, there's such a rich history there of, you know, good golf and some iconic shots and technologies that we've seen that other brands have kind of copied and used and brought on as well. That, you know, Cobra are obviously a major and a big hitter in the golf equipment marketplace, and they will continue to be that. So well done to Cobra, and yeah, I'm sure they've got some pretty special stuff planned for their anniversary.
I might get invited to something.
You never know. I saw the driver as well, the kind of gold and black driver, which looks really cool. So yeah, it's always good when you see stuff like this, because they do bring out kind of limited edition stuff, and yeah, I'm sure there'll be some parties going off with the Cobra Puma family, and you may get an invite, Matt. You never know.
I don't know how high up on their important list I am, but you never know.
I think in your head you're pretty high up.
In my head, I'm pretty high up on everybody's list.
Yeah, but yeah, we'll see. I mean, but yeah, it's obviously a great milestone for them to reach, and here's to the future. I mean, I'm sure they're just going to keep on improving and smashing it out of the park like they normally do. Unfortunately, that brings us to a close, Matt. We've been talking for a long time, nearly 50 minutes now.
It does fly by.
It does, doesn't it? And we've got lots of other topics to talk about, which we're going to have to save until the future. But hopefully next week we'll get into some of this stuff that we've got lots of stuff to talk about, haven't we, to be honest? But some of it is a bit more divisive than others. But let us know what you think about some of these new, I was going to say new club releases, but they're not. They're kind of retro club releases, aren't they? But with a new modern twist. So, let us know what you think about those, as well as anything that you've seen in the world of golf this week that we should be talking about. We always love to hear from you. If you've got any questions, any comments, or anything you want to add, you can contact me and Matt on social media or any of the Golf Shake channels. So we've obviously got Facebook. We've got the YouTube channel if you want to make any comments on there. Obviously, Twitter. We've got Instagram. But also you can use the old email info@golfshake.com to get hold of us too.
Just be nice. If you're coming on social media, be nice.
Why are people horrible to you, Matt?
No, they're not. I'm just...
They're generally nice to me.
They are.
Some of the comments on some of the YouTube videos are a bit crazy, but...
Yeah, that's what I'm talking about. Like, be nice.
I read other YouTube channels. So James Robinson, who we had on a few weeks ago, some of the comments he gets, I just don't know how he doesn't explode at people. But yeah,
I'll be honest. Like, I'm not sure why he seems to give them a lot of airtime, and I think you're actually just eating into their hands, aren't you? You're giving them what you want, which is maybe a bit of attention.
I quite like that he goes back at some people as well. To be honest, he's pretty cool when he does that. Yeah, I do, and I have commented and got involved sometimes as well when people are being idiots. But yeah, I mean, unfortunately, it's that kind of toxic space at times, isn't it? That people just talk absolute rubbish when they don't know. But it's the same people who think they hit the 7-iron 170 yards that talk about this. So I mean, it is what it is. But yeah,
I'm playing golf. I'm playing
to talk about all the time.
I'm playing golf tomorrow.
Of course you are. You're less than 12 hours away from your next round at all times.
Isn't it McDonald's that apparently you're never like more than 5 miles away from a McDonald's or something, wherever you are in the country or whatever. But no, I'm like never. Yeah, that's like me with golf, but in time.
Never 12 hours from a tee time.
Yeah. I've got an alarm set for 5:10 tomorrow morning. I'm going to get up and I'm going to hit the course before I go to work. And my justification of that is that I'm doing that because I'm not playing until Thursday, where I've got 36 holes at Brockett Hall.
You do realise it's Tuesday tomorrow, Matt, yeah?
Yeah, I know, yeah.
And your next round is Thursday.
Yeah, I know.
Okay, I feel for you.
I know. But when we record the podcast this time next week, if we're doing it on Monday next week, which is bank holiday, which is absolutely fine, I'm also playing bank holiday Monday. Do you know, I've got a story on that. Have I got time?
Bank holiday Monday as well. So,
yeah, have I got time to tell you a very quick story?
As long as it's interesting,
it's quite quick. So the last bank holiday Monday, I had a pass to play golf in the afternoon. So I looked on the tee time, like the tee booking app we use, the Club V1 app, and I could see that there was like a mixed competition in the afternoon, which was pretty much the only time I could play. So it was a case of playing this mixed competition if I could find myself a partner, or almost don't play golf at all. And I thought, do you know what? Like, I don't know many of the ladies at the golf club. I generally, at the times I play, you don't see many of them when I'm playing. But there is one or two I know. So I text a lady. I won't mention her name. And people, I do know that members of the golf club listen to this podcast, and you'll be able to work out, and it's absolutely fine. But I wasn't desperate to play in the mixed competition. I was just desperate to play golf. So I texted her and asked her if she wanted to play in this competition. She couldn't. She had family over. But I think she felt like that I was desperate to play in a mixed competition. And then she asked me about, there's another one on Bank Holiday Monday, the 1st of May. Do you want to play in that? And I felt like I was in this situation where I kind of couldn't say no to her, because I felt like she felt like that.
A wormhole.
Yeah, basically, that's what I was in. And then, so I've signed up to play with her in this mixed competition on Monday afternoon, which is absolutely fine, by the way. You know, I'm looking forward to it. It's not something I've ever done before. And she is a really lovely lady. I wouldn't have asked her otherwise. So I'm excited to, to go and play. But I realised today that it's actually on the same day as the major competition that I won last year is also being played on the same day, which was a total oversight. And if I'm being brutally honest, I'd rather have played in this old club cup competition and tried to defend that title than play in the mixed. But I kind of sign up now. I can't do anything about it. And yeah, if there's a golf god out there, we'll win this competition. You
have to play 36 in a day, mate.
I don't know if they would allow me to play because the mixed is a major comp as well. It's like a ball comp. So I'm not sure I'd be allowed to go out and play in the morning and then play again in the afternoon, well, having kind of seen the course.
If the honours board needs to read, Matt Holbrook could not defend on it because whoever wins it needs an asterisk next to the name, don't they?
Basically, I think that's
you
fair.
Compete. I mean, come on, unless golf club.
Yeah, unless me and Annie might win on Monday, and if we do, then the world is good again.
What's the format of the comp?
I have no idea. I think it's I actually think it's a foursomes.
Ah, right. It's not like you can mark a medal card at the same time.
No. I looked into that already.
Of course.
Yeah.
Good. Well, best of luck, mate. And we'll talk about it next week anyway. Because
I'll share my experience. But generally, you know, it might be worth sharing because I've not done anything like this before. So
that's good. I think it's good to get involved in. I'd always quite like to get involved in that sort of stuff at Howley, really. But obviously, I can't being a pro. But they always look pretty good fun days, and you obviously get to play with people that you generally wouldn't have played with. So yeah, it's absolutely great. So on that note, we'll wait till next week. We'll hopefully hear how you've got on, and hopefully you'll win that. And if it's a major one, you'll get your name on the board
again.
Nice, yeah, exactly. That'd be wonderful. So from me and Matt, we'll see you next week.
Cheers.